guys. We're nearing the end of this Act series. We started, I think, in September, and here we start in Acts chapter 28 today. We're not going to make it all the way through. We're only going to go through the first 10 verses, and we will finish up. We will gain our freedom. I don't know how you translate this into, you know, freedom from the book of Acts. That's not what we're talking about. Next Sunday, when it's Independence Day weekend, we will finish the book. And I'm working on that. And next week, if you're available, I know it's a holiday weekend, but we also have James and Lucy Everall with us from Dubai next Sunday. They're here, and they are coming from the opposite end of the globe to meet you. They're praying seriously about moving here and joining with the team. And it'd be helpful if we can actually meet them. So that would be great. If you are able to be here next Sunday, that would be good. As of now, James, he may share a little bit with the church. I'll still finish the series, but we'll have time to hang out with them during the week, too. They're going to be here. They arrive Thursday, and they're with us for a week until the next Thursday. So if you want some time to hang out with a really cool English former professional soccer player and a Brazilian who was... he was wise enough to marry, as we learned from Gianna. just let us know, and we'd love to get you some time with them while they're here. So that would be fantastic. All right. Today happens to be Refugee Sunday in the United States. And all over, many churches are talking about refugees and what it means to love the stranger. And so I thought, what a coincidence that we are starting Acts chapter 28 today, which is the way that the citizens and the residents of an island receive the shipwrecked strangers. I thought, wow, what a perfect tie-in. I'll tell you what, when we mapped this out, I had no idea that it was Refugee Sunday. I thought, well, it's perfect. We're going to go with it. So have you ever felt this way? Have you ever felt like a refugee? Felt like, I do not belong. I'm out of my comfort zone. I'm out of anything that feels like home. Everything is just upended. And maybe it's that you're on the run. Maybe it's that you're facing persecution. You ever felt like a refugee? I would venture to say probably most of us have had at least a sense of that at some point. And God has a plan for the refugee. What is this plan? Well, the context here, we've had a shipwreck. The end of Acts 27, 276 people on board this ship from Alexandria, went through 14 days of storm and eventually crashed on a reef off the coast of Malta. And the Roman soldiers who were guarding the prisoners on the ship wanted to kill all the prisoners, because if the prisoners escaped, then it would be death for the Roman soldiers as well. And the centurion, because he liked Paul, wanted to save Paul's life, stopped them from executing the prisoners and said, no, instead, everyone swim for shore. Everyone swim for shore. And they all made it. The very end of Acts 27 says, and so it was that all were brought safely to land. And now we pick up into Acts 28, and we'll read the first 10 verses. After we were brought safely through, we then learned that the island was called Malta. The native people showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled the fire and welcomed us all, because it had begun to rain and was cold. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and put them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the native people saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer. Though he has escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." He, however, shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. They were waiting for him to swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw no misfortune come to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. This sounds familiar, actually. This has happened to him before. Now, in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to the chief man of the island, named Publius, who received us and entertained us hospitably for 3 days. It happened that the father of Publius lay sick with fever and dysentery, and Paul visited him and prayed, and putting his hands on him, healed him. And when this had taken place, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases also came and were cured. They also honored us greatly. And when we were about to sail, they put on board whatever we needed. This is a great story and a great testimony of how God works amazing things. In the middle of shipwreck, in the middle of disaster, in the middle of incredible struggle where, like, no one planned that they were going to be on Malta. This was not the plan. And yet here they find themselves swimming to shore, coming in on pieces of the wreckage, and they make it in barely, but they're alive. And immediately start to realize God has had a plan the whole time. God has been working something amazing the whole time. Now, let's go to that next slide. I want to show you. This. Our projector might be a little dim. It doesn't really do justice to how wonderfully blue and clear this water is. This is Malta. This is looking out from Malta at the sea around you. If you do a little Google search and you look up Malta beaches, you will feel a little bit less bad for Paul and the 275 people who got shipwrecked on this island. I want to go visit this island. Looks amazing. Swimming in it looks fantastic. I just want to go here. I didn't know that until studying for this. Passports for Brazil, passports for Malta. Let's go do that. We might need to plant a church there. You have vipers too? All right. So we can even experience the supernatural, miraculous. Vipers in Brazil. Don't tell Becca that right now. Becca needs to not know anything about creatures in Brazil until we visit. Okay, so this is Malta. Now, this is Malta in the summer. These guys actually landed in probably around November, and the sea is a little darker, not quite as lovely in November, but I still want to go there, so even if it is November. There's three quick things we're going to get out of these 10 verses. The first one is this: God remembers the refugee, and he remembers those who provide refuge. In Deuteronomy 10:18, says that God loves the sojourner, and that this word sojourner means the stranger, the traveler, the one who is the foreigner among you. God loves the sojourner, and he actually goes on in the next verse and commands his people to love the sojourner as well. Now, when you meet sojourners, when you meet travelers, when you meet people from around the world, it's not hard to embrace and love. When we met Marcos and Gianna, they did not come as refugees. Marcos came as a Fulbright scholar to teach to teach college here in Spokane. That's not exactly a refugee. But it can still feel like you've been completely upended and like, where do I belong? How do I fit here? But God has a plan. He loves the traveler. He loves the nations, and he wants his people to embrace the nations as well. What's cool, when we look at these even the first two verses of this, these 276 not Maltese people crash land on Malta, and it says the native people showed us unusual kindness. I want you to think about something. Luke wrote the book of Acts, but the Holy Spirit inspired Luke to write the book and in how he wrote it. And so keep this in mind. God himself took note of the way the islanders received the refugee. God noticed. He made sure that it was put down in record for all of us to see and to learn from. God remembers those who give refuge. We do really well, you guys, when we welcome the shipwrecked. When we welcome the stranger among us. We do really well when we do that because it represents the heart of God. He loves the shipwrecked. Remember that the founding verse for our church here, Grace Church Spokane, coming from 1 Samuel 22, verse 2, says David was in the cave of Adullam, and those who were in distress and those who were discontent and those who were in debt, those are the people that were gathering to him. These are the shipwrecked of life. And God notices, more than notices, he affirms when we welcome the shipwrecked. And the second thing I want to point out here is this. God reveals the gospel. He reveals the gospel through the refugee and to the refugee. And this is a really interesting thing in the next couple of verses here. The islanders start a fire. You can imagine all these people just came out of the sea in November. It's cold. They've been without food for days and days, and they ate a little bit before they jumped in the water. But they need some help, and the islanders start a fire. Paul's helping. He goes to gather a bundle of sticks, and as he goes to throw the sticks in the fire, a viper comes out because of the heat, latches onto his hand, and everybody sees it. Everybody's watching. What's going to happen to this man? And I love this. This is like Paul, the man of grace, meeting a culture of karma. You know what karma is? The whole idea of karma. You do something good, the universe will see to it that something good comes back to you. You do something bad, the universe will see to it that something bad happens to you. So when they see, these islanders see the snake come out and latch onto Paul's hand, they immediately say, this man has done something bad. And he survived the shipwreck, he survived the water, he's done something bad, that's why this happened. And what's happening here, you might not realize it, what's happening is a culture clash. When you are welcoming in the stranger, on the good days, you know, there's strangers showing up to your beach for vacation, and you're hanging out, and you're like, hey, good to meet you, where are you from? Tell me about where you're from. On the good days, it's great. But when you come on the bad days, and cultures run into each other, this is where confusion can happen. This is where conflict can happen. Now, what's happening here is a spiritual conflict. And the islanders see the snake and they say, justice has not allowed this man to live, because the viper should have killed him. And the same people who said justice has not allowed him to live, now watch as nothing happens. Paul is fine. He shakes the snake off into the fire, which I kind of like. That's the ultimate destiny of the ultimate snake, the ultimate serpent. The devil will end up in the fire. He shakes the snake off and nothing happens. He doesn't swell up. I swell up, I get stung by a bee. Nothing. He doesn't swell up and he doesn't die. And they start to say, wait, now this is he a god? Because if that happened to one of us, we'd be dead. But he's not. And immediately you realize God is up to something here. The first thing is, for Paul, when you're the one who gets bit by the lethal snake and you don't die, that's a good day for you. This is a bonus. Yes. So for Paul himself, this is great. He's protected. And he's healed before he can get sick. It's good news for him personally. It's good news for the 275 that just came off. These are the refugees right alongside of Paul. And God is moving in the middle of this. All these others who are shipwrecked just like him. They're strangers on this island just like him. Some of them are prisoners of Rome. And they're not headed to try to just vindicate their name before Caesar. Some of these men are probably going to die. But they're all watching and they all see what happens as Paul is miraculously saved. And God's revealing himself. He's revealing something of himself to the refugee. But he's also revealing something of himself to the islanders. He's revealing himself to the refuge providers. Guys, when we welcome in the other cultures among us, when we welcome in the refugee, don't for a minute think, oh, God is intending for me to be a blessing and for us to be a blessing to these lesser people. Guys, when you're welcoming in the other cultures, God is intending to teach you. He's intending to teach us something of his kingdom. And these islanders, these weren't Christians. The word that's used when it talks about these guys being non-Greek speakers is actually barbaroi, Greek barbaroi, which is where we get the word barbarian. These weren't even like your standard Roman citizens. These were the non-Greek speakers. They would have been considered less than, even in the Roman Empire. But God is speaking and revealing himself to this whole other group of people. And he does this every time. Whether you feel like the less than, whether you feel like the greater than, God is intending to speak to you and to reveal something to your heart through the refugee. Now, I'm not saying every time we say refugee, don't think only in our modern context right now, 2016, don't think just Syrian refugee, Iraqi refugee. You can also think single mom who is trying to figure out how to survive, and she feels completely displaced in culture. Think dad who just lost his job and he feels completely shipwrecked. Think of the drug addict who's trying to figure out what way is up. How do I move forward? The refugee may be from your very own nation. Maybe from your very own neighborhood. Now, it also includes the Syrian and the Iraqi and the Pakistani and wherever they're from. And we have an amazing challenge as the karma culture, they probably didn't call it karma, but as the karma culture meets a grace culture. What do you know about Paul before Christ? Think about it. Had this guy done wrong? Yes. He had. And when that snake latched onto him and bit him, if it was truly justice, he should have died. But the karma culture met the grace culture, where the justice that was due to Paul had already been poured out on Jesus. And God is able to extend mercy and grace to Paul. When the karma culture meets the grace culture, you know God is up to something. Now, it gets better. Because what happens is Paul, the refugee on the beach, surviving a shipwreck, cold, at the fire on the beach, becomes Paul, the man of refuge. You find out something about this island and these people. There's a lot of sickness. And even the chief of the island, his father, is sick with dysentery and with fever. And as the chief man of the island has entertained Paul now for 3 days, not just Paul, probably Aristarchus, who was traveling with him, the Roman centurion. I doubt many of the prisoners probably their guards didn't let them just go hang out with with the chief of the island. But Paul himself got to hang out. And for 3 days, this guy's just extending favor and blessing these shipwrecked victims. And in the process, Paul finds out about his sick father. And so they go and they lay hands on him. He prays for the man, says he lays his hands on him, and he's healed. Now, this is Paul. So if you've seen how he does ministry, you know he comes in the name of Jesus. And he lays hands on a man. Boom. Fever's gone. Boom. Dysentery is gone. And when this happens, it says from all over the island, people who are sick, they come. You know what's happening here? The name of Jesus is being made great through a refugee who's becoming a refuge. And the islanders who start out as the ones providing refuge are now coming to be rescued. This is cool. You guys know the song, you know the band Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers? He has a song called "You Don't Have to Live Like a Refugee." Right? Don't have to live like a refugee. Don't have to live like a refugee. Okay, Paul does not live like a refugee on this island. He's only been there for a few days, and already it's the islanders coming to him to be healed. I remember when Beck and I started, and you hear us talk probably, it may even annoy you sometimes when we talk about the church we came from in Montana. It's just that we were there for a really long time, so we lived a lot of life there. But when we first started going to that church, we had a really hard time breaking in and making friends. Now, both of us are naturally kind of introverted, and so, you know, some of that could be on us too, but we just had a hard time. And so we were trying to figure out, what do we do here to really connect? And we kind of had that feeling of, like, we know God brought us here, but I kind of think that's the only reason I'm here, because I know God brought us here. And I felt like God said something really important. This actually changed the way I live life. God said, you know, if you feel like you're on the outside of the circle looking in, why don't you begin to invite people into your circle? Don't wait for other people to invite you into their circle. Stop acting. He didn't say, I didn't feel this, but the idea, stop acting like a refugee and start inviting people into your sphere of influence. Start inviting people into what you are doing and how you are living life. You know what happened? Our home began to overflow with young couples. We were a lot younger then. And young couples began to come to our house because we were a young couple. We were married maybe slightly longer than them. That was really scary because we were teaching young married classes with maybe a year or two ahead of the rest of them in marriage. But we began to overflow with friendship and seeing people make connections and seeing other friends. And pretty soon our home was too full and we had to split off and multiply out. And pretty soon there's another group happening of young people. And they said, we're just doing what you taught us to do, which is we're just going to people that we see on a Sunday who look lonely and or look like they don't belong. And we're going and we're grabbing them and we're saying, hey, come to our house, come hang out with us. And they began to do that with their friends. Our home got full again. And so did the other one. If we don't live like a refugee, we start to think differently. It doesn't matter the actual circumstance. You might be a refugee. The United Nations says if you have to flee your land because of persecution or fear of it, based on your race, based on your religion, that's what classifies you as a refugee. You might actually be one. You might be fleeing persecution, but you don't have to live like a refugee. Thank you, Tom Petty. Wonderful, wonderful prophetic ministry from Tom. He's right. Guys, do you see yourself as a refugee? Or do you see yourself as a people of refuge? Do you see yourself as someone that God is bringing people to for refuge? Or are you the one who's like, I don't fit, I don't belong? If you're thinking like a refugee, you'll have a hard time thinking with a kingdom mindset and a kingdom attitude of bring in the lost and go get them. Do you see yourself as a bringer of blessing? You should, because it's who you are. I think I skipped the verse in the notes. It probably showed up on the screen at some point. I'm going to jump back to it here. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. There it is. Guys, this is who you are. A chosen race. It goes on to say, a royal priesthood, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Outside of Christ, we're all refugees. But we're not. If your faith is in him, if your trust is in him, if he's the Lord of your life, you are now a chosen people. God is intending to bring his blessing through you to others. This is cool. So God, in this story, God uses the unexpected arrival of Paul and the 275 shipwreck victims 275 mouths to feed, 275 bodies to shelter. He uses the arrival of these refugees to bring healing and blessing and favor to an island struggling with disease and brokenness. Cool. This is what God's up to. The refugee and the stranger you help today, and you embrace today, and that you welcome today, could be the very avenue that God uses to bless you tomorrow. That's cool. It's two ways. It's a two-way street. It's blessing and being blessed. We're called from the nations to the nations. It's who we are. And this is what God wants to do with us. Let's go to that final slide. When God helps us live as the rescued, we can become rescuers. Click that one more time. Something went out of order on that slide. There it is. The refugee mentality is, I do not belong. The refuge mentality is, we belong, and you belong with us. We can welcome people to us. Doesn't actually matter what your circumstance is. Is it good? Is it difficult? Might be either one. What matters is who you are in God. Chosen people. Royal priesthood. Intended to demonstrate the excellencies of God. I just wrote this on my notes at the end. We who were once spiritual refugees are now a refuge for the world. This is God's purpose for us. I know it's his purpose for us as a church to be a refuge for the world, whoever that is, whoever, whatever neighborhood they come from, whatever race they are, whatever nationality, we're to be a refuge. And we're to make disciples and send those former refugees out to be people of refuge all over. Father, would you work in our hearts . Weave it into our hearts that we are a chosen people called by you to be a people of refuge. Like Paul, shipwrecked on the island of Malta, but who lived as a chosen instrument of God. Lord, we want to be those who live as a people of refuge wherever we go. That we go and say, God, what are you doing and how can I be a blessing? How can I bring your blessing here? Work in our hearts, we pray. Father, I pray as Marcos and Gianna and Jonas return to Brazil, Lord, make this a family of refuge. Connect them with a family there, with a church family there that is a people of refuge that embraces this mentality of being the chosen people of God. And Lord, for every family represented here today, and those not able to be here today, those on their honeymoon today, Lord, make us a people of refuge. Everywhere we go, Lord, inviting people into our sphere of influence, inviting people into our circle where we know they'll be blessed because of who you are. You're amazing, God. You're amazing. Take us, whatever island we may feel like we're on, whatever beach we feel like we've washed up on, take us right in that place and cause us to be a blessing. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes. I pray that for every family here. Open our eyes to the wonders of your kingdom and your purpose and your plan. Open our eyes, Lord, and let us see what you're doing. When the viper latches on and tries to take us out, we trust you to move in our lives and move on our behalf. Lord, turn it and use it for your glory. Use it for your kingdom. Use it to advance your kingdom culture and your grace culture right on that shipwreck island. Lord, we love you and we trust you. As we ask you to do this, you say we should come and we should ask in faith, believing that we have what we ask. Lord, we know what we're saying and what we're praying right now is your kingdom will and purpose. And so I want to thank you that as we're asking you to make us a people of refuge, that you are already doing it. You're working it in our hearts. You're working it. You've been weaving it in through our circumstances, good and bad, making us to be this people of refuge. So we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.